I want to jump into this message today and try to get you out of a reasonable time so you can celebrate your mamas. If you have a Bible, you could turn to Genesis. While you turn there, I'm just going to pray. Father, thank you for today. Thank you for your mercy and your goodness, your grace in the land of the living. It's here. Your grace is here right now. It empowers us when we feel weak, when we feel like we can't do it, when we can't make another day. Lord, I thank you that your grace launches us. Your grace empowers us. And we love you. We worship you, King Jesus. I just pray your anointing on this message and you would just seal it on my heart, on all of our hearts, and in this room. We love you and we worship you in Jesus' holy name. And everybody said, amen. So we've been talking about a fun subject for me that's a subject that's kind of been transforming my thinking in my life, and that comes from the book of Genesis, and we've been talking about altar, a tent. I mean, like last week, a tent. So I encourage you to watch that if you didn't get to see it. It was fun, and we had a big tent over here. But an altar, a tent, and a well. But I felt like because it's Mother's Day, I just needed to go a slightly different direction. So we'll get into the well next week. But today, I'm going to kind of take a different approach, and we're going to stay in the text of Genesis, but I'm going to go on a little bunny trail. And how many like bunny trails? Yeah, I'm going to go on a little bunny trail, and we're going to do a little, how many like, I like watching like superhero movies and different movies and where they have this, the big story happening where you see the big picture. And then all of a sudden, there's like a TV show or another movie that comes along, and it's the origin story, right, of a specific character in the big picture. And so I wanna step back a little bit, and I wanna take you on a journey of an origin story, if you will, of a person that's in this whole picture, which is Sarah. So let me say Sarah. So we've been talking a lot about Abraham, the father of our faith. We've been talking about Isaac and Jacob, but let's talk a little bit about this woman named Sarah. How many like Sarah? You know, what I love about Scripture and what I love about history, really, it's like I love that we all have a backstory. And you know, many times we can look at the crescendo, like the end result of a person's life, how they finished well, and we sometimes miss the beginning. We sometimes miss the backstory, and the backstory is sometimes the most potent part. And you know, so if you knew nothing about this woman named Sarah, and all you knew was the New Testament, what the New Testament had to say about her, well, let's look at a couple scriptures in New Testament. Hebrews chapter 11 says this about Sarah. It says, and by faith, even Sarah, who was past childbearing age, was enabled to bear children because she considered him faithful who had made the promise. Hallelujah. So if you knew nothing about Sarah, you would just know instantly from Hebrews chapter 11 that she's a hero. She made the hall of faith. You know, she's a faith hero. Like, she's in the great cloud of witnesses because she believed. Like, she had this faith in her, so much so that the writer of Hebrews is like, I'm throwing Sarah in because this is too good. And then we see 1 Peter 3:6. For instance, Sarah obeyed her husband, Abraham, and called him her master. Don't get any ideas, man. Babe, you got to call me master. You are her daughters when you do what is right without fear of what your husbands might do. That's a powerful scripture. Romans 4:19, and Abraham's faith did not weaken, even though at about 100 years of age, he figured his body was as good as dead, and so was Sarah's womb. So this is what the New Testament has to tell us about our sister Sarah. And one more is in Galatians chapter 4. And 21 through 26. Tell me, you want to live under the law? Do you know what the law actually says? The scripture says that Abraham had two sons. One was from the slave wife, and one was from the free wife. The son of the slave was born in a human attempt to bring about the fulfillment of God's promise. But the son of the freeborn wife was born as God's own fulfillment of his promise. These two women serve as an illustration of God's two covenants. The first woman, Hagar, represents Mount Sinai, where people received the law that enslaved them. And now Jerusalem is like Mount Sinai in Arabia, because she and her children live in slavery to the law. But the other woman, Sarah, represents the heavenly Jerusalem. She is the free woman, and she is our mother. Wow. That's Paul. That's pretty good. So if all you knew was New Testament and you just hear about this Sarah, you'd be like, wow, like she's a hero. She went down believing. And it's true. But sometimes you got to go back a little bit. Say, go back. And so let's take a step back to where we first hear about Sarah. So that's Genesis chapter 12. And in Genesis chapter 12, we see this story begin to unfold about Abram and Sarai. That was their original names. And Sarai actually means my princess. That was her name. And I love that the Lord changes her name to Sarah. And Sarah means mother of nations. Come on. God has destiny in our hearts. He has destiny in your hearts, mamas, in this room, and all the fellas. He has destiny for you. And we know that that because of her believing and because of her faith, she ends up having a child, Isaac, the promise. And out of that comes, she is a part of the lineage of Jesus Christ. I mean, that's pretty special. Amazing, amazing woman. So in Genesis chapter 12, we see that the Lord speaks to Abram and says, now the Lord had said to Abram, get out of your country. Okay. From your family, from your father's house, and go to a land that I will show you. And I've preached this and I've read this and I'm like, man, like you're so awesome, Abram. You just believed. And it's true. Like, it's such an amazing act of faith. And I often just forget about Sarah's act of faith. Because it wasn't just, he wasn't solo. He wasn't like living bachelor life. Like, he had Sarai. And she also had to leave her family, which is a great act of faith. She had to leave her wealth. Like, they had much wealth. She had to leave that behind fully. She had to leave position, all position that she had in that community, that she had in her family. She had to leave that aside to do what? To obey the Lord for her own life and trust her husband. That takes guts. I think it takes a lot of faith, and it takes guts to serve the Lord. Amen? And so she obeyed the Lord to go to a place that God would show them. He didn't even like, remember, he doesn't even like say where they're going. He's like, just go. And they're like, where? That way. Where, Lord? You know? And so they go and they trust and they go to a place which happens to be 1,426 miles away. This is before planes and trains and automobiles. This is yaks and horses and, but not even, they didn't even have horses probably. Yaks, camels, and sheep, you know, and donkeys. And so this 1,426 miles, that is huge. That's a long ways away to travel by foot and by animal. And I love that there is just this faith in her story to just trust the Lord. Like, I'm pressing into him in this new adventure. It's scary, but I'm trusting you. Come on. She trusted the Lord even when her husband did not protect her. Remember the part of the story just slightly a few chapters later. Remember Abraham, I'm going to paraphrase a lot because it goes through many chapters. But Abraham says, I want you to lie. I want you to tell him that you're my sister. And so she's like, doesn't want to, but she obeys her husband. He's, instead of covering her, instead of protecting her, instead of just trying to protect his own backside, he wants to lie. And she, it could have been really bad for his wife. It could have been really bad. She could have died. But she stayed faithful and she trusted God even when her husband didn't protect her. And then we know the biggest part of the story, which why she is a faith hero. She was barren until she was 90. 90 years old. Come on, can you even imagine having a baby at 90 years old? And that's intense. But she was barren, but she had a word. She had a word of the Lord. And so this part of the story is where I really begin to kind of connect with Sarah and her, just who she is. Because it wasn't this squeaky, clean faith, like perfect. It was like, I'm having trouble with my faith right now, Lord. I don't know if I believe. I don't know if this is going to take place. Like, and we all get like that sometimes, right? We're not perfect yet on this side of heaven. And sometimes we question things. And so this is where she's at. Like, she's just having a real hard time. Like, she's like, I want to be a mom. I want my husband to be a dad. But this is just not happening. It's not working out. And so she tries to take the matter into her own hands. And which is never a good idea, which it says in Galatians chapter 6, the slave woman. And so she takes her servant and she's like, hey, Hagar, and she's like, hey, I want you to sleep with my wife. And I'm like, sleep with my wife, excuse me, sleep with my husband. She's the wife. I want you to sleep with my husband. And my first response is like, why the heck didn't Abraham be like, no, babe, I'm not doing that. He's like, well, I'm trusting you. I'm trusting you, honey. It's messed up. Abraham. So anyway, he sleeps with Hagar. They have Ishmael. Come on, Patrick. He's like, I would have been way better than Abraham. Amen. Father of our faith back there. So Ishmael is born. And just as Paul was saying just as Paul says in Galatians, when we try to make the promise happen in our own strength, you know, we have to take care of it in our own strength. We have to nurture that. We have to take care of that. We have to feed, water, do everything. But when it's God's word, when it's God's promise, he takes care of it.
That's right.
Amen. And so she's trying to make this word come to pass in her own strength. And so they make an Ishmael. And the Lord says, no, like, this is not my best for you. And so he reminds Abraham once again in Genesis chapter 18. And he says, behold, Sarah, your wife, shall have a son. Sarah was listening in the tent, right? She was in the tent. She was listening in the tent, which was behind him. Now Abraham and Sarah were old, well advanced in age, and Sarah had passed the age of childbearing. Therefore, Sarah laughed within herself, saying, after I have grown old, shall I have pleasure, my Lord being old also? And the Lord said to Abraham, why did Sarah laugh? Ooh. Saying, I am too old. Is there anything too hard for the Lord? At his appointed time, I will return to you according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son. Sarah denied that she was laughing, for she was afraid. And he said, no, but you did not laugh. I love this. So she laughs at the promise. Why? Because there was unbelief. There was doubt. She had been holding on to the promise for so long, and now she just hit a season of just uncertainty. Like, is this ever going to happen? Like, she's not a bad person. She's been trusting the Lord fully, like, her whole life. And now she's just hitting a point where she's like, I'm old. like, how the heck is this going to, let's just laugh at that, right? And she just doesn't feel like it's going to happen. And the Lord's like, no, this is going to happen. You can try it in your own strength, and you did it with an Ishmael, but it's going to be supernatural, and it's going to come. And so she decides to believe the Lord, which is always a good thing to do. And we know that Isaac is born. Hallelujah. Amen. I love this. And so chapter 21, Isaac is born. Genesis 21. I love this. So in chapter 18, she's laughing with unbelief. She's laughing with doubt. And then in chapter 21, it says, and she has Isaac. She's holding the promise. And Sarah said, God has made me laugh, and all who hear will laugh with me. She said, who would have said to Abraham that Sarah would nurse children? For I have become, or I have borne him a son in my old age. So in chapter 18, she was laughing with unbelief. And now in chapter 21, she's laughing with gratefulness and an astonishment and a happy heart. Like, look what the Lord has done. And she's holding the promise. It's a beautiful thing. So this is such an incredible story. I'm just kind of paraphrasing what happened, but I wanted to pull a few things out of Sarah's life. Six lessons I find that really minister to me, and I hope it would minister to you today, women, moms, and even the fellas. And the first thing that I learn and recognize from Sarah's life is that nothing is impossible with God. Come on, we need that like tattooed on our arm. Nothing is impossible with God. Even Jesus said this in Matthew 19:26. But Jesus looked at them and said to them, with men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. Amen. And this context, Matthew chapter 19, this is where he's talking about, you know, rich people being saved. And that it's hard. It's hard for those that have a love and a lust for money to be saved. But Jesus doesn't just cut them off and say, this is impossible, never going to happen. He says, yeah, this is difficult. But with men, it is impossible. But with God, all things are possible. Come on. So the person that is just like with the person that we've been praying for and believing for their salvation, and maybe it's a child, a prodigal, maybe it's a family member, a sibling, maybe it's just somebody close to you, and it just seems like, is this ever going to happen? Like, are my prayers even working? And it just seems impossible. Like, let Jesus' words just sound in your heart. Like, nothing is impossible with God. Yes. Amen. Yes. And that was the revelation I pull from Sarah's life, that if she can believe, and if she can have these ups and downs, but finally just fully believe, and bear a son at 90 years old. Come on, nothing is impossible for our God. Yep, amen. Even in 2023. Come on. He's moving. He's working. Nothing is impossible for our God. Every mountain shall bow to the feet of Jesus. Amen. The next thing I realized through this story is that God is faithful to keep his promise. Can you say amen? Amen. Philippians 1:6 says, being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you shall complete it unto the day of Christ Jesus. Isn't that a good word? God is faithful to keep his promise. And so we can just rest. Like, I think so many times we get scared and we lose our hope and we lose our faith, and it's not happening in our time frame. But I love this, that Philippians 1:6 and then Jeremiah 1:12, it says, then the Lord said to me, you have seen well. Say, I have seen well. Make it personal. You have seen well, for I am actively watching over my word and ready to fulfill it. Amen. Oh, come on. I am actively watching over the word that he's given you, the word that he's spoken over you, this word and the prophetic word that he's given to you and your family. He's watching over it, and he will bring it to pass. We don't have to make this thing happen in our own strength. That's the beauty of the gospel. That's the beauty of our good Father. He brings it to pass. He's like, well, this doesn't seem, there's no way, Lord, I'm 90 now. Oh, this is the perfect timing. Right? Which leads me to my next point is that God's timing is always perfect. Yeah. Our timing is we get antsy. And we're a culture that we want our downloads yesterday. Why is my song on my iPhone taking 2 minutes to download? Why is the little circle stopped? Why is it paused? You know, it usually takes 30 seconds. And we're just like, we're a very fast culture. And we have forgotten the timing of the Lord.
Yes.
In Ecclesiastes, it says there is a season, a time appointed for everything. Amen? And a time for everything, delight and event and purpose under heaven. I love that. I love also in Ecclesiastes, it says everything is beautiful in its season, in its time. And so I remember the Lord was speaking that to me one time when I was pursuing marriage in the wrong season. And the Lord spoke to me that specific scripture. He said, everything is beautiful in my time. Out of my time, it is destructive and it is harmful. And it is. But when we come into it in his time and in his season, it's beautiful and it's fruitful. And so I love that. I love that this story, the story of Sarah, is this beautiful story of the timing of the Lord. You know, if it was up to her and Abraham, they would have just had a bunch of kids, you know, in their 20s and 30s. Like it would have been bada bing, bada boom. Like let's do this thing. But like I love how the Lord works. And she is forever in that great cloud of witnesses. She is forever in the hall of faith for believing. And come on, if she can believe, you can believe. Say amen.
Amen.
God's timing is always perfect. He's not late. He's not even early. He's always on time. Amen. Another thing I extract and kind of pull from this story of Sarah's life is, and I'm reminded that patience is still a fruit of the Holy Spirit. And we desperately need some patience in our life. And I love that when I read the stories of Sarah and Abraham and Isaac and even Noah. Like, think about Noah. The Lord speaks to him. I want you to build a boat. It wasn't like a 6-month project, right? This was years and years. And he's building a boat patiently, doing what he feels the Lord has called him to. And people are walking by like, no, what are you doing, man? Oh, I'm just building a boat. Because why? Like, oh, it's gonna rain. They're like, what's rain? Like, they've never, at that point in time, there'd never been rain. So they're like, well, what's rain? He's like, well, I don't know. I mean, I think it's going to come from the sky and it's going to flood the earth and you're all going to die. They're like, right, okay, later. Good talking to you, neighbor. But he was patient, and it's just something, it's a lost art, but it's, I love that in Galatians 6, it says that it is truly a fruit of the Holy Spirit. It's God's nature. And so the more we're hooked up to him, his fruit comes out of our life. And so if we're constantly impatient, if we have no patience in all of our life, then we need to hook back into the vine. Right? He is the vine. He is the vine. And we are the branches. Amen. And we cannot bear fruit of ourselves. We must stay connected to the vine. And Sarah learned this, even in her questions, even in her laughing, even in her, gosh, I don't know how this can happen, but she stayed connected. And she kept believing. And so that speaks to me like, hey, even with your uncertainties sometimes, even with your fear, even with your big question marks, like just keep looking to the Lord. Keep trusting him, and like he's going to show up in your life. He will bring it to pass if you don't lose heart. Amen? Amen? Patience is still a fruit that we need in our life. And number 5, I see that, I love this, you know, God can still move even when we blow it, even when we mess up, he can still move despite us. And this was her story. Like if God was like, oh, you blew it, you stopped believing, so I'm gonna go find somebody else. I'm gonna go find somebody because you just laughed. No, like the Lord can fully move despite our mess ups. And this is what's so attractive and beautiful about scriptures, because it's just normal men and women that just trust and believe God through their mistakes. I mean, again, look at Noah. Like, his sons found him like raging drunk in the tent. And it was like not a good sight what they walked into, right? But yet God still had favor on Noah. Think about David. We love David, and God loved David, a man after God's own heart. But yet he committed adultery. And then he had to cover it up by killing the woman's husband, getting her husband killed in battle. Like, he royally messed up. But yet the Lord could still move and still work. Hallelujah. Paul, I mean, think about the Apostle Paul, who was leading the charge to kill Christians, kill the church. And he thought this was a righteous cause and a holy cause. And he was exterminating the church from the face of the earth. And yet he has this encounter with the Lord. Everything changes. And God uses him to establish the church in all of the earth. Yeah. Come on. He is not limited by our mistakes. He's not limited by our sin. He's not limited by the things in our past and all the stuff that we didn't do right. He is God. Come on. You know, it reminds me of my own grandmother. Since this is Mother's Day, I'll just throw in a mom story. But my grandmother, you know, she was such an amazing woman. I just really looked up to and prayed me into the kingdom. But I remember, you know, my grandmother, she grew up in New York and in a lot of poverty, you know, and way back in the day. And her parents had many children, and they were, you know, there was just so much poverty in the particular, they were in Brooklyn, and there was just so much poverty. They had to give all their kids to the orphanage. And so my grandmother and her siblings were taken to an orphanage. And so she had to deal with a spirit of rejection. And so then at 14 years old, it's like, here you are. She's a 14-year-old girl. Now she's dealing with rejection and sadness and like, do they even love me? All this stuff that, you know, that happens in kids' hearts. And then that's when the devil tries to sweep in, right? He waits for the vulnerable moment. And so he sends this good-looking young fellow. And my grandmother gets pregnant at 14 in an orphanage. And so she's heartbroken. She's devastated. And she just feels like she wants to end her life. And so she ends up going out to the top story of this orphanage. She opens the window, and she's about to jump out the window, and she's going to end her life right there. And as she's standing there, she begins to hear this worship song that had played. At one point, it was earlier in her life, but she began to hear the words just kind of going through her heart and going through her mind. And all of a sudden, like, she could feel the presence of God standing on the ledge about to commit suicide. And she takes a step back into the building, and she just begins to repent and call on the name of the Lord. Amen. Pretty amazing. And she was pregnant with my mother. My mom was in her belly, and she was about to commit suicide because of the shame, because of the regret, because of the rejection, and everything that she was feeling. She was about to end it all. But God's like, hey, you messed up right there, but I still can move in your life. I still love you. I still have mercy. I'm still the God of hope. Amen. 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 And he took a crazy, messed up situation and extracted glory out of it. Amen. You know, and like my grandmother's, she had many, she had four kids and many grandchildren and some great grandchildren before she went to be with Jesus. But, you know, and she got to see me as a missionary in Mongolia, And just so cool. I was able to preach the gospel over there and plant a Bible college and do amazing things. But that's fruit of her yes. That's fruit of her not giving up. And so it's like if you would just stay in the game and not give up, like when all hope is lost and you feel like I just need to throw in the towel, I'm ending it all. Like just stay in the game because God's not through. And he can still move despite your mess ups, no matter what you did yesterday, you know. And like I've talked to many guys over the 9 years that I've been pastoring. It's like, so sometimes guys will be like, I'm just full of so much shame because of what I looked at on the internet. And I feel like there's, you know, I can't do this church thing anymore because I feel like a hypocrite and I'm blowing it in my marriage and I'm blowing it on this. And no, like if you still have breath in your lungs, you can make it.
Amen.
Come on. The Lord is not the one who condemns you. That is the devil. God is here to give you hope and a future. And so we turn our lives to him. We turn our hearts to him. And he aligns us.
Yes.
Come on.
Yes. Hallelujah.
Beautiful, beautiful story. And so I know that there's so many stories like that, just like my grandmother's, all over the world of people that just held on. Come on. I mean, think about Paul and Joyce. Beautiful story of just holding on. Joyce, I mean, you're the mama of the house, and I just honor you. I really honor you. We love you so much, and thank you for saying yes in 1972 and establishing this church, you know, with other families, with Albie. But you know, I've heard the stories. There was persecution. There was all kinds of stuff flying. You could have been like, we're done. Like, this is too hard. It's too hard for our kids. But you kept going. And here we are 51 years later. Come on, Jesus. So if we would just stay in the game, like, who knows what God will do? He'll do something beautiful, though. I know that. Can you say amen? And my sixth point, follow, and Patrick, you can come up. We're going to end with a wonderful song. But number six, following the Lord isn't always easy. It's not always the easiest path, but it's the best one. Amen?
Amen.
Matthew 10:38, it says, this is Jesus, and he who does not take up his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. When I read that, it's like, ooh, that's not easy. That speaks of dying to yourself. That speaks of walking with Jesus, walking this narrow road. Amen? It's not a wide road. It's not the road that everybody's traveling on. It's the narrow road, and the cross speaks of discipline. It speaks of suffering. It speaks of walking with him, locking eyes with him, and that's not easy. But it's worth it. Why? Because when you walk with him, you get relationship with him. You get the fruit of his spirit. You get the love of Jesus pouring through your life. There's nothing better. There's no high like the Most High. Amen?
Amen.
He's so good. It's just the truth. That's Matthew 10:38. Proverbs 3, 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart and lean not on your own understanding. But in all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. So there is a path for us that the Lord has. And it's not always easy. It wasn't easy for Sarah to keep believing. It wasn't easy for Abraham. But the path of the Lord, the way of the Lord, is the best way. Yahweh is the way. Say that with me. Nothing is impossible. Say, God is faithful to keep his promise. Say, God's timing is always perfect. Say, God's patience is working in my life. Say, the Lord can still move even when I mess up. And following the Lord isn't always easy, but it's the best choice I've ever made. Say that. Amen. Again, in Genesis 18, Sarah laughed. She laughed at the promise. There's no way this can happen, Lord. We have different situations in our life where just maybe we're not 90 years old giving birth, but it seems like there's impossible situations in our life. It's like, how can this ever happen? How can that relationship ever be restored? How can this thing ever come about? And you might be like her, laughing at the promise. But I just feel like if you will just look to Jesus, stand in His presence, stand in His grace, in His love, like you will have this Genesis 21 moment where it maybe in your yesterday you laughed and you cried about how stuff isn't moving in the way that you want it to move, and you just feel heartbroken and you feel heartsick for loss of friends and maybe your child that's running in a different direction, and your heart just feels sick and broken. But you're going to have a Genesis 21 moment where you're going to laugh again with joy. You're going to laugh with thankfulness. You're going to laugh with faith. Ha. Psalm 30, 11 and 12, it says, "You have turned for me my mourning into dancing. You have put off my sackcloth and you have clothed me with gladness. To the end that my glory may sing praise to you and not be silent. O Lord my God, I will give thanks to you forever. You've turned my mourning into dancing, my sorrow into joy." That's the testimony of Sarah's life. That's the testimony of Hannah. Hannah was brokenhearted because she, again, was barren. And the Lord, she said, "If you'll just give me a son, if you'll give me the desire of my heart, I will give him fully to you. I will consecrate. I will commit his life to you." And the Lord speaks through Eli, speaks through the prophet, and she has a son, Samuel, who becomes one of the most powerful prophets in the Old Testament. And the hand of the Lord was so mightily upon his life. But it seemed, there was this moment where it seemed like it was never going to happen. You turn my mourning into dancing, Lord. You turn our sorrow into joy. Hallelujah. Naomi from the Bible, she had experienced so much heartache. Her husband, she was not barren, but her children had passed. Both of her sons died and her husband died. And so she says, "I want you I want to change my name. And my name's no longer Naomi. My name is Mara," which means bitterness. And she was bitter and she was broken. And it wasn't until the Lord brought her a new friend, a relationship that restored her and the joy of her salvation. And she came back. And with that whole story is just such a beautiful story of redemption, a beautiful story of restoration and God restoring joy to a situation. So I want you to close your eyes with me if you're not already. All three of those ladies that I just mentioned were not perfect, but God extracted glory. God ultimately had his way in their life. Sarah was not perfect. She made mistakes along the way. She had her doubts and her unbelief, but God moved mightily in her life. And I just feel like Maybe you're in this room and you're like, man, I've blown it. I blew it. I yelled at my kids, or I did this, I did that, or I did that thing last year. No, the best is yet to come. But we have to start with a yes to Jesus today. And so just stand to your feet. And I just want you to give the Lord a fresh yes. And I just speak God's blessing over every mama in this house, over every spiritual mom. I bless you in the name of Jesus. I bless you in your journey. I bless your heart that it would not grow weary while doing good. That your faith would expand in this season of your life. That you would have faith for things that are far bigger than yourself. And that you would laugh. I just prophesy a season of Genesis 21 laughter. Laughter filled with faith. Laughter filled with expectation. Laughter filled with the promise of God in your hands. Father, I thank you for that over every mom. Over every mom for their children. Over every mom for things they're believing for in their personal lives, in their marriages. Over every woman in this place. I bless you now in the mighty name of Jesus. And over every man and over every person in this room, I bless you. I speak the blessing of God, the favor of God, and the ability to lock eyes with Him, to keep looking to Him when everything is going sideways. So let's just worship the Lord for a minute. And if you need to just give Him a fresh yes, then you just do that. Just speak to the Lord. Just consecrate your heart to Him. And just let Patrick minister to you. If you're next to a mom, why don't you just put a hand on the shoulder of a mom next to you? And I want us to sing this chorus one more time. And I just want you to kind of prophetically sing it over their heart, over their life. That God's favor would be upon them and their children and their children's children. And so pray for them, but I just want you to sing this prophetically over the mamas in the room right now. Thank you, Father. Yeah, we just thank you for your blessing upon every mother in this house, blessing upon their children and their grandchildren and their great-grandchildren. I thank you for the blessing of God flowing generationally through this house today and through every family in the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for what you're doing. We celebrate you, Jesus. Have your way. Continue to have your way, Lord, as we celebrate our moms in Jesus' holy name. And everybody said, amen. You're welcome to keep worshiping for a minute if you want to. Otherwise, God bless. Come up for prayer if you need. Get some cookies. Get your gift, ladies. And God bless you. Have a beautiful day.